praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for my son-in-law. After all, I gave him my daughter. When I look at the wedding pictures, I look like the most sad father in the world because I was losing Lily. When he was born, I was a chauffeur for Hans Waldvogel in Germany, just so you get the time element here. And some of these old men here were in my prayer group in Ridgewood, in Canarsie, and of course in camp. You know, I've been around a few years, as you can see. And I don't know where to begin. Some of you are wondering when I'll stop, but I'll try to be brief because it's a long story and I've explained to people that they have to buy the book, which doesn't exist yet. But I want to take this opportunity to thank the Lord for his faithfulness, for his care over us as a family, for bringing me to Pilgrim Camp. I'll just say this, that out of the World War in Europe, the Second World War, so you remember that, right? Yeah. There were orphans, not only the Schreck orphans or the Baumgartner orphans, which was my wife's family name, but there were thousands, as there are now, in Europe and Middle East and Far East and so on. And that the Lord, I find it a great miracle, but the Lord took the Schreck family and the Baumgartner family out of all of that and brought us to Ridgewood, first of all. Sent a pastor over there. Brother Edwin found me wandering around in Austria. I had been to the farmer and picked up some milk for the family. Anyway, that the Lord picked us out of there and set us in here, and then Pilgrim Camp. Would you believe it? They brought us up here almost immediately. Your Uncle Arthur was instrumental in bringing me and Joe first, and then later the others came, and so on. And it's a long story, as I said, but I thank the Lord that today I'm here and able to thank the Lord, and that some of my family is here, my children and my grandchildren. My grandson Andrew was 12 years old yesterday. There he is, the guy in the black shirt with a star on him, playing the fiddle. I was that age when I came here. And Brother Gordon used to sit over here and read us nice stories. We enjoyed Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline. They were a lot of fun. And I wish I had learned a few more things, but I thank the Lord for his faithfulness, just to be brief, and to honor him and to thank him. You couldn't write a better story, a better miracle, I should say, of the grace of God. And I just want to read just a couple of verses in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? When I read this, a hart, of course, some of you theologians know, I think it's a deer, right, Brother Richard? One of those animals. I saw one by my brother Steve's house on his property. Beginning of August, I was there. And in the morning, he came down to graze. And that fat boy was just the opposite of this. He wasn't looking for food or water because he's got a whole lake. And I said, Lord, am I like that? I looked at myself. Well, I'm getting about as fat as he was. But how about spiritually? Lord, is the thirst still there? Is the hunger there? And the Lord talked to me just from that little illustration that I need to say, Lord, I'm thirsty today. I want you more. It's not the end yet. It's only the beginning. I've had the privilege of being associated or connected with one way or another with the camp for 67 of these 70 years. I missed the first three. I was in Austria. Anyway, And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. And we're all here today. I was reminded of Memorial Day weekend when a lot of us were here, about 100 folks every year, getting the place ready for the season. And it's a work weekend, and so I looked up the word work in the Bible, got about 10 references, but I just want to mention one and then I'll sit down. They dwelt with the king for his work. That was Solomon. The people were just there because the king was there. And I said, Lord, we're in pilgrim camp because the king is here. There is no other attraction or reason that we would, any of us would be here, Memorial Day weekend or otherwise, or even now, unless the king didn't live here. The presence of God that we've heard about so much, the mercy of God, the care of God. And I wish you all another 70 years. Sorry I won't be here then, but some of you will be here. Continue serving the Lord from generation to generation. God bless you.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
We find that the desire that we have in our hearts for Jesus is just a small reflection of his great longing over us. Isn't that so? We love him because he first loved us. And the desire that we feel toward him is a reflection of his desire. He wants us. What a privilege that is when we think of it that way. Praise God. It's also nice to have with us our Sister Marie Hoflander. She's been here for a couple weeks, I guess, now, right? I don't know. Our brother Charles went to be with the Lord, her husband, in June of this year. The Hofflanders were always so kind to me when I was living at Pilgrim Camp. Brother Charles would come to visit his sister Caroline and with Sister Marie. And we got to know them a little bit. And then he took a real chance. When I left Pilgrim Camp, he asked me to come and have a week of meetings in his church. I knew he was trying to help me. I knew I wasn't going there to help him, that's for sure. And we had meetings. We had a day of prayer together. His son Jonathan took me into a little airplane and let me fly around up there. It's a trip that I'll never forget, but mostly because of the kindness and the loving interest. You know, I'm in ministry now, I guess about 34, maybe more years. And I think back at those early days, and I say, those poor people. But I thank God for those that took a real interest and saw the hand of God upon our lives, encouraged us. I found out that, you know, people think that sitting up here is a throne. Well, it's also a target. And I found over the years. But there were those that really had confidence in what God could do in our lives if we'd give them a chance. And they had faith with us. And the Hofflanders were that to me. Excuse me. And so we're so glad to have Sister Marie. She's told us about our brother's passing and some of the meetings. And God manifested himself in a wonderful way. I'm sure she has something else now that God has put on her heart. And we're Looking forward to hearing that. Sister Marie, come, please.
Well, my dear brother that just spoke took the words out of my mouth. I don't know where to start. But my brother Paul said to me, "You don't take more than 10 minutes. I said, "I will do my level best to stop, even if I'm in the middle of something. I will stop after 10 minutes. And because he says, we've got other people that are supposed to be speaking. Well, it looks like I lost my notes, so now I will take a long time. Anyway, my first experience here, my first introduction to Mr. Gordon Gardiner was when he came and stole my Sunday school teacher away from me in Waukegan, Illinois. My Sunday school teacher was Caroline Hofflander. Excuse me. I make 95 mistakes because I'm 90, almost 93 now, so forgive me if I rattle on. I'm going to try to keep it, Brother Paul. I think it was in 1942. Was it 42 they married? I think they were married in 1942. Anyway, I was at that time, let's see, I would have been 23, 33, 43. I would have been 19 years old. That's right. Yes, in 1942, our Sunday school teacher said to us, the girls' class, "I'm going to be married." And we said, "Oh no, to who?" We didn't know anybody around there that was good enough for our Sunday school teacher because she was the best in the world. And she said, "I am engaged and I'm going to be married on such and such a day in February." And so to try to shorten this, if I can possibly do it, Gordon, Freddie, and Ernie, whoever they are, I don't know which ones they are, but at that time they were young men in Brother Gordon's Sunday school class. Do you know who they were? Anyway, they came out with Brother Gordon in February and stole away my Sunday school teacher. And I didn't think I could get along without her because she had taught me everything I ever knew. I never saw a Bible before I was 14, and I never had read the Bible. So I was getting introduced to it from ground level. But when I first met Mr. Gordon Gardiner, it was love at first sight. I don't mean, you know what I mean. The love of God in that man's heart. And I said, "He's good. He's good. I'll let him have her. I'll let him take her away from me." From us. Because we all loved her. Anyway, now I must get down to my notes. I haven't got to them yet. So the first time I came out here, I was waitress with this little girl that spoke to us yesterday. She was younger than I was. I don't think she was 17 or 16. How old were you?
86.
How old were you when you were waitress here? 16. I thought so. And she was scared out of her shoes because somebody said to her, "You're going to have a roommate." And you know where we lived? Right up here in the first room on the right at the top of the stairs. And there was a three-quarter bed in that room. And we stepped together in that bed. What do you think of that? That wasn't news to me because I came from a very poor family. And we always had some other brother or sister sleeping in the bed with us. So that was no shock to me. And then she says, she was so petrified because they said, "You're going to have a missionary, a girl that's going to go to the mission field." And she thought, 16 years old, and she's going to have a roommate that's going to go to be in the mission field. Woo, what's she going to be like? And she didn't know me, and I didn't know her. And I walked in the door. I said, "I'm Marie Dilger." And I said, I've come to serve with you as a waitress. Oh, do you like to swim? I said, I love to swim. She said, let's go swimming. Let's get on our swimming suit. And we've been swimming, corresponding pretty much off and on, especially in these later years. And now I'm going to mix my story all up. But anyway, later on, when Brother Gordon passed away, and Ruth and Bob Collis were asked to come from New Jersey to be here. I'm jumping way ahead of my story, but anyway, I'll try to hurry.
Sister Marie, take your time.
We carried on. I skipped already that I haven't married my husband yet. Anyway, I married my husband, who was Charles Hoflander, who was out here with Arthur Waldfogel in the very first days after they bought the camp. And there was a tree growing right through the roof of the house, right over there somewhere. And Charles got up there because his father was a gardener in Lake Forest, Illinois. And Charles was used to cutting down trees and climbing ladders and so forth. And so Arthur and Charles took that big tree out of the roof and patched up the roof. And he said, then he had to do another tree. And then he said he wrote his initials and mine in the top of the tree. So if you want to climb the tree and see, you can prove out my story. And the last time he was here, he says, I'm going to climb that tree and see if I can still see what I did. But that was not so long ago. And since then, he's been in deep dementia and it can't come to camp anymore. Anyway, now I'm a married woman. And he and I were asked to go and take the church in New Jersey, which we did for a month while Pastor Bob and Sister Ruth Collis took the camp. And there were a number of processes going on at that time. Anyway, I'm going to simmer this down now. When I came the first time, and Sister Ruth came the first time, we were told that we were here to serve Jesus, not them. We were not going to serve them. We're not going to serve people. We're going to serve Jesus. And that was the theme that she told us. And we do everything you do for Jesus. You do it for Jesus. And you tiptoe in the door. When you come into this room, and you don't slam the door, you turn the knob. And you turn the knob and you push the door too. But you do it for Jesus, because you respect his presence here. You know, in some of these things, we might find out that we've deteriorated a little bit, me included. Close the door gently. Jesus is here. And if you have to cough or sneeze, muffle it. Jesus is here. I'm not making this up. This was told me. Expect the presence of God. Expect a life-changing experience because of him. It's not which preacher is here, which pastor is here, but Jesus is here. And he's the only one who can alter your life. And believe me, he had an awful lot and still has a lot of altering to do in this old German girl. But I'm so thankful the first time, I don't know if you remember this, Sister Ruth, but Brother Gordon said at 3 o'clock this afternoon, this was in the Sunday morning service here, we are going out on Watch Rock and we are going to study the Beatitudes, because that's where holy life begins. And Jesus went up on the mountain and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he told us, Brother Gordon told us, poor in spirit means to always feel your need of Jesus. It doesn't mean your pockets are empty. Of course, that was the truth anyway, but my pockets were empty. I was poor naturally, but poverty of spirit, I always need Him. And He will always be there for you. You reach out to Him. And you know what? We don't smile enough. I look around and I don't see people smiling. And you know what? We used to sing an old song when I was still in the world. Smile a while and give your face a rest. Then shake hands with the one you love the best. And then, what's the next line?
Turn around to someone new.
Yeah, and then shake hands with some nearby and give to him a smile. Smile a while and give your face a rest. Then shake hands with the one you love the best. Then, and give to them a smile. That's my key word I want. We don't smile enough. I see old people like me. We sit there. You know, we mustn't do that. We mustn't do that. Keep smiling until you go to heaven.
Amen.
And then you'll be smiling all the rest of the time.
Amen.
But anyway, that's just a sideline. We studied the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice. And I gave a little talk about that, didn't I? When somebody was here, you or you or you. I was here for all three of you. Anyway, I bet my pastor that never talks about real personal things in the morning service where I go to three different churches, not because I'm a church tramp, but because my kids go to different churches and I want to stand by my kids. So I divide myself into parts. Well, I'm young yet. I'm only 92 and 9/5. Next September, if I live September 21st, I'll be 93. If you think of me, say, God help that old lady to keep shining for you. I don't want to stop smiling. I don't want to stop fighting the good fight of faith. Do you?
Yeah.
No, as long as you have breath, as long as you can breathe. Okay, I'm looking at Brother Paul now. I have to hurry up. And I want to say this, and listen to this. Last year, Sister Sue Ann Carey, who comes with me every year, well, we've been coming the last 4 or 5 years without Mr. Hofflander because was in total dementia. Now he's got it all together up in eternity. Isn't that wonderful? And I started to say my pastor gave a sermon, and it was on, and he never talks like this, the morning church that I go to. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he stopped and he says, now some of you have sorrows in your life and some of you have troubles finding the next dollar and some of you have children that are rebellious, and are you supposed to rejoice in the Lord then? He says, yes, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. This is my pastor talking. And then he says, he put a P.S. on it, and he says, and again I say, rejoice. So that was what I was interrupting. I don't know if it was your time or your time or your time, because I was so blessed at all of them. Anyway, I want to leave this right now and say, don't come to camp without bringing somebody that's hungry for Jesus. Bring them with you. Last year we brought a young woman. What's her name, Sue? It's gone from me, but it'll come back in a minute. You have to give 2 minutes for people when they're past 92. Anyway, we brought this woman, and she sat right where Brother Shrek is sitting, and I sat right where this precious young boy is sitting, and she reached over and held my hand. She said, Marie, I like this place. And she was scared to death of Pentecost because she had never been in Pentecost before. I said, don't worry. I said, it's not a typical Pentecostal church. It's a church where people grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. So I said, don't be afraid. Just go with an open heart and find Jesus. You know what she said? She said, Marie, I'm not going to be able to go to camp this year with you, because she'd already promised, I'm going back. But she loved everybody that was here. I think you were here, Brother Ernie, when Laurie Rickert was here last year. And she says, I'm going back next year. But then she met a woman that was going over to Kenya, where I worked for 4 years for the Lord before I got married. And when the Lord gave me directions, he says, you're going to go home and you're going to marry Charles Hopeland. I said, I am not. You don't talk to the Lord like that. Because he always wins. He always wins. He has the last word. Because he knows what's best for you. And he knows what's best for me. And he knows what's best for his kingdom. And he knows what's best for his church. And I said I was going to hush it. I'm going to hush. Anyway, my friend Lori will hopefully be back next summer. Well, I don't know if I'll even be here. But anyway, Sue Ann can bring her next summer if I'm not here, if I go home to glory. Anyway, bring others, not to this place particularly, but to Jesus and to a closer walk with him, because that's the message here. The message is not to glorify Brother Gordon. Brother Gordon and I are almost on a tie. He's 93 already, and I'm going to be 93 in a few weeks. But we've been around this place a long time, and we highly recommend it. And we're so thankful that every one of you are here. And keep bringing others, not to camp, not to hear Brother Ernie, not to hear Brother Kenny. And not to hear Brother Philip, or not to hear Brother Gordon, but to get to know him. Bring others. And in the meantime, for yourself, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and smile a while and give your face a rest. And shake hands with those, even if you don't know. You know what I did? You see, I'm an old fool, an old fool's. Listen, and I heard somebody over here behind me. I sit right there. And somebody behind me the other night said, you know, we should reach out to people. Who was it that gave that good testimony and says, welcome people when they come here? Was that you? No, it wasn't you. You were the ones that came. Those two people, they're Fogels, whose name is known all over Ridgewood. So after that old gentleman over here said, we should love people and reach out to them. So then these folks came in a couple minutes later after that man had made that testimony. And I didn't know them from a bale of hay, but I reached over and I said, welcome, we're glad you're here. Welcome, we're glad you're here. Come to find out that you've been here longer than I've ever been here. God bless you, and keep on seeking Jesus, and bring others in here. Bring them in from the field.
Thank you.